The 15th chapter of Luke contains three stories. In my Bible, there's words up at the top of each page that sort of try to, in very few words, try to cover some of the highlights that are going on that page of the Bible. And on the page of my Bible, as I look at it now for Luke chapter 15, it says, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. In addition to the two stories that Brother Chuck read, the story of the shepherd that lost his sheep and the woman that lost her coin, there's also the story of a father that lost a son. We call that story the story of the prodigal son. And Jesus told all three of these stories to his disciples and to those, even to the publicans and the sinners that were gathered around him, as it says there in the first verse of chapter 15. But he told these stories to not only those that heard him that particular day, but he tells these stories to his readers, those of us that read them today, for a couple different reasons. He wants, in these stories, he is instructing us and he is encouraging us to seek the lost, to go after them that are not saved, to look for those that don't know Jesus and that are on their way to hell. He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man, talking about himself, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, that's the reason I came. I came to seek that which was lost. I came to go after and to look for those people that need me to get right with my Father. He says, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to do the same thing that I've come to do. I want you to seek the lost and tell them about me. And this morning I want to preach on the subject. I took my title out of a phrase there in verse 4 where it says, go after that which is lost. Go after that which is lost. And in my message this morning, what I want to do is mention five things that I find in these two stories, the story of the shepherd and the lost sheep and the story of the woman and the lost coin, five things that are essential, that are key, if you're going to be a success in going after the lost. And by the way, before I start, I want to point out to you that Jesus tells us that we can be a success. You can, as a Christian, find people that are lost and tell them about Jesus. I mean, just look at the three stories in this chapter. Did the shepherd find the lost sheep? Huh? Yes, he did. I mean, Brother Chuck read about it a minute ago. We're going to talk about it in a minute. He left the 99 to go look for the one, and he found that lost sheep. Did the woman find the coin that she was looking for? Yes, she did. She started out to look for it, and by the end of the story, she says, hey, she called all her friends and neighbors, come rejoice with me. That piece that I lost, I found. And if you go and read the rest of the chapter, you'll see that the Father found the Son. I mean, in all three of these stories where Jesus is telling us, look for the lost, go after the lost, in all three of the stories, the lost were found. Now, we may not get everyone we go after. There may be some people that will refuse the gospel. There may be some people that will slam the door in your face, that won't take a track, that won't listen to one word that you want to say about Jesus. But there will be some that will. There will be some that will hear the old gospel story. And there will be some that will listen as you tell them the wonderful words of life. And there will be some that will respond and receive Christ as their Savior. So let's go after them. Now, I want to mention five things. And I've sort of summarized these into five words that I hope will get your attention because I made them all start with the letter D. There's a fancy name for that in preaching class. I don't know what it is, but it helps you to remember when all the points start with the same letter. The first word that I want to point out to you this morning is the word disaster. Disaster. In both of these stories, we read about a disaster. A lost sheep is a disaster. You know, sheep are dumb. Probably one of the dumbest animals that God made is a sheep. And I think he was trying to picture us. But and I'm not going to go there. But sheep are dumb. And if sheep get lost, they do not know how to take care of themselves. I mean, that's why the 23rd Psalm says, he leadeth me beside the still water. A sheep won't find water. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The sheep won't find things to eat. He has that animal has to be led by the shepherd. And so if a sheep is lost, a sheep will not take care of himself. A sheep will walk into danger. I mean, left to his own devices, a sheep will walk into a pack of wolves or to a pack of hyenas. I mean, he won't hide. He doesn't know that danger is lurking. The shepherd has to help him with that. And so left to themselves, left lost, this one little lost lamb, this one little lost sheep will die. It's a disaster. So is a lost coin. If you read that story closely, you'll find that that lady lost 10% of what she had. The Bible says she had 10 pieces. She lost one. Can you imagine if you went home and this week your bank called and said, sorry, due to some unforeseen circumstances, you've lost 10% of your savings. Or you've lost 10% of your retirement account. Or you've lost 10% of your Christmas club. I mean, that would be a disaster. A coin that is lost cannot be spent. A coin that is lost is wasted. A disaster. And so a lost soul is a disaster. Because a lost soul is a soul that can never be spent the way God wants it to be spent. You see, God has a plan for each of us. Every single person in this room this morning, I don't care if you know Jesus as your Savior or not, but if you're here this morning breathing God's air, He has a plan for your life. It's a perfect plan for your life. It's the reason that He made you. Say, oh, God didn't make me. I was born. No. You misunderstand who God is. God's behind the birth of every person that's ever been born. And He's got a plan for your life. And it's a perfect plan for your life. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're lost this morning, your life is a disaster because you don't get to take part in that plan. You see, the first part in any plan that God has for any of us is for us to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He wants you saved this morning. That's why He made you. That's why He brought you to this place this morning. If you're here this morning and have never received Christ as your Savior, that's why you're here. It wasn't just an accident that you came this morning. It wasn't just an accident that somebody brought you along with them. I don't care if this is your first time or your 50th time to be in this place. If you're here this morning and not saved, then God's plan is for you to receive Christ this morning. And your life at this point in time is a disaster. In the sight of God, it's being wasted because He made you for a purpose. And you can't fulfill that purpose until you come to know Him. It's a disaster because just like a lost sheep, you will die. Your soul will live forever. So I'm not talking about physical death when I say it's a disaster because you will die. I'm talking about spiritual death. I'm talking about being separated from God forever. I'm talking about spending eternity in that place called hell. And I believe in hell just as much as I believe I'm standing here and this pulpit is real, so is hell. Don't you let some crackpot tell you that it's just an esoteric thing that religious people made up to scare others. I want to tell you something. This Bible talks more about hell than it does about heaven. It's a real place. It's a place of fire. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of the bottomless pit. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And your life is a disaster this morning if you don't know Jesus, because that's where you're headed. You say, well, I don't like you telling me that. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you the truth. Your life is a disaster because not only are you wasting the plan that God had for your life here on this earth, you face a Christless eternity in that place called hell. And it's a disaster because that's not what God wants. Again, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His desire is for every single person to go to heaven. His desire is for every single person to come to know Christ. Every lost, and listen, until we as Christians get this picture, until we get this picture in our mind that every person in our family that doesn't know Christ, that every person that we call friend, that every person that lives next door to us, that every person that works beside us, that every person that sits in the desk next to us at school, every person, I mean the person that cuts our hair, the person that that pumps our gas, the person the people that we run into every single day, until we get the picture in our mind that without Christ, their life is a disaster. I'll never go after the lost. It's a disaster. Second word I want you to notice this morning is the word desire. Desire. What was it that caused the shepherd to leave the 99 and go after the one? Desire. What was it that caused the woman to light the candle and sweep the house and search diligently? Desire. The shepherd had a desire to find the lost sheep. The woman had a desire to find the lost coin. A deep, heartfelt longing and want to that said, like Moses said in the book of Exodus when he was pleading for his people. They had sinned and God was ready to destroy him. And Moses went to God and he said, God, you got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. If you don't forgive them, then take my name out of the book of life. A desire that said, like Paul did in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, where he wrote, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We can see other people's lives as a disaster, but until we have the desire that says, hey, I can tell them something that will help them. I can introduce them to a person that can make that life that's a disaster now. I can turn it into a life that'll last forever. Not just life, but abundant life, Jesus says. I can introduce them to the person that can do that for them. But you got to have that desire. Let me ask you this morning, who do you have that desire for? If a name or a person doesn't come immediately to your mind, then you need to catch the desire. Who do you know that's not saved? Who in your family? Is it your father, your mother, your son or your daughter? Is it a brother or a sister? Who in your family? Is it an aunt or an uncle, a cousin, a good friend, your best friend? Who in your life doesn't know Christ? Do you have a desire in your heart? Do you have a desire in your mind that person be saved? The shepherd did. The woman did. They had a desire to find that which was lost. Until we see every person's life that doesn't know Christ as a disaster, and until we get a desire in our hearts to see them saved, we'll never go after the lost. But it takes more than a desire. The third word I would mention to you this morning is the word decision. Decision. The shepherd decided to go after the lost sheep. The woman decided to look for the lost coin. They made a decision. They said, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do something. I'm going to take an action. This sheep is lost. If I just stay here with the 99, that sheep will die. I've got to do something. I'm going to decide to do that thing. The woman said, hey, I've got the 9 coins, but there's one missing. I can find it if I look. Not only did she have the desire, she made the decision to go and look for it. You see, the desire to find the sheep was a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing for a shepherd to want to find the lost sheep. But until that shepherd made the decision to go, desire was useless. The woman, it was not a wonderful thing that she had a desire to find the coin. But if she did not make the decision to go and seek it, her desire was useless. It's a wonderful thing to have a desire to see people saved. It's a wonderful thing to have a desire to see people get baptized and join the church and grow in their Christian life. But desire by itself is not enough. Desire just on its own is sort of like faith when the Bible says faith without works is dead. Desire without decision to go is useless. Now look, I can have a desire to lose weight. I can want to all I want. In fact, the doctors encouraged me to have that desire. I need to lose weight. So my blood pressure was, can't even reach that high. Then my cholesterol was just as high. I said, well, I'm in perfect balance. High blood pressure, high cholesterol. He said, no, you got it all wrong. So I can have a desire to want to lose weight. But unless I make a decision to quit eating all this good stuff, it ain't going to happen. My desire is useless. I mean, I can have a desire to read a book. Jess gave me a book that she wanted me to read, and it sat on my nightstand for weeks and weeks. And she asked me the other day, she said, Dad, you going to read that book I gave you? I said, well, I want to. She said, I know, but you've wanted to for 4 weeks. When are you going to do it? So I took it to California with me on Thursday, and I read it. I gave it back to her yesterday late when I got home. I said, okay, I made a decision. I read the book. You see, desire without decision is useless. We have got to decide to go after the lost. We've got to take Jesus up on his command when he said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've got to decide like Paul. Not only have the desire to take that one that's living a disaster and see them come to know Christ, but we've got to decide, I can help. I can help introduce them to the one that can change that disaster to eternal life. And they can have the abundant life that Jesus promised. So, decision. Decision. But that's not enough either. There's another ingredient that needs to go in this little formula, and that's determination. Determination. Here's what it says about the shepherd. The shepherd goes after that which was lost until he finds it. You understand what that verse is saying? The shepherd said, hey, I see that lost sheep as a disaster. He's going to die. He can't take care of himself. I have a desire to go find him. I'm going to decide to go get him. And I ain't going to quit looking until I find him. The woman said the same thing. It says the same thing in that story about her. It says, she lights the candle, she sweeps, and seeks diligently. She seeks diligently till she find it. I was talking to Debbie last night. I said, hey, what if I start hiding money? Will that encourage you to clean the house more often? She said, mind your own business. So I don't encourage that, men. Don't take that from this story. But the story says she sought diligently until she found it. She was determined that she was not going to quit until she found it. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you were saved, you that are saved this morning, how many of you were saved the first time you heard the gospel? Raise your hand. First time you heard about Jesus. First time you heard the story of the cross. First time you heard about his death for you. You were saved the first time. Anybody? Nobody. I wasn't. It took me months to make that decision for Jesus. I mean, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I deserved to be punished for that sin. I knew it just as well as I knew 2 and 2 was 4. I understood very clearly as a 15-year-old that I was a sinner, that I deserved to be punished by God. And I knew that God loved me. I mean, I could quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I knew that verse. I was reminded every week when I went to Sunday school and church that I had a God who loved me, that did not want me to go to hell, that sent his Son to die in my place. And I could quote you the scriptures. I could tell you the story. I could paint you the picture. And there was no doubt in my mind that I knew that I was a sinner headed for hell and that God loved me and sent Jesus to die for me. But even though I understood that, it took months of my grandmother sticking her old bony finger in my face saying, Daryl, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. It took months of my preacher preaching salvation messages where during the invitation I would stand back there and grab the pew and I'd say, not today, God, not to God, not today. I know I need to get saved, but not today. It took months of prayer from my mom and my dad praying for me and Christians that came into my life living the example month after month after month until one day, you know the story, I've told it often. A revival, my preacher, after the service, after he saw me standing back there weeping, holding on to the pew, knowing that I should get saved. He said, don't you think it's about time? And we went out into his office. We got down on our knees, and he led me to Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you this morning, who have you given up on? Who do you know in your life that you have a desire to get saved and you've made a decision that you're going to tell them about Jesus, but they've rejected it? They turned you down. And they said, not today. And you sort of said, well, I guess that's enough. I guess I've told them enough. Who have you given up on? I would tell you this morning, don't give up. Until you're called to heaven, until you hear the trumpet and hear the angels say, come up hither. You keep telling them about Jesus. You keep telling them about the old, old story. You keep telling them about the cross. You keep warning them about hell. You keep telling them that the only way that they can come to the Father is through the Son. Determination. Determination. And then there's one more thing. Once you see the disaster, once you see that it takes desire, once you see that it takes decision, once you see that it takes determination, then comes the best part, enlightenment. The shepherd, when he found the sheep, called all his friends together. He said, hey, let's come party. There's one that's lost and found. It's the same thing about the woman. Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. We didn't read it, but you go down later on in the chapter, and the father says, let us eat and be merry, for this my son, which was dead and alive again, he was lost and is found. Even God chimes in. He says, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner that repented than over 99 people that don't need repentance. He says, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one soul that repents. Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Bring sheaves. I heard a story last night as I was driving home from the airport. I was listening to a sermon. I like to listen to sermons. This story, I was looking for a way to close out my message this morning, and God gave it to me last night. Story of a mother back in the farm days, and people lives on farms, and she went out early in the morning. Her husband had already gone to work in the fields. She went out early in the morning to get some water out of the well. And she went to the well and dropped her bucket into the well and wound that crank and pulled the bucket up and turned to go back into the house. And as she was turning to go back in the house and just walked a few yards, she heard a splash in the well. And she went running back to the well and looked down, and her two years old, just like little Megan a moment ago, had slipped out of the house when she'd gone out and somehow gotten around her. And after the mother turned to go back in the house, this little girl had climbed up on the well and fell in. Of course, she screamed, and there was nobody that heard her scream, but she also climbed down into the well, jumped down into the well. It was about waist high on her. And she reached down and picked her little girl up and held her over her head like this to keep her out of the cold water. For 5 hours, she stood there in that water that was cold up to her chest, holding with her arms up like this her little girl. They screamed and they cried, but it wasn't until Dad, her husband, came home at lunchtime about 5 hours later that he heard him. He went quickly and got a neighbor, tied a rope around himself, and climbed down into the well, pulled this little girl up. She was fine. Then tied the rope around his wife, and they pulled her up, rushed her to the doctor. She was going in and out of consciousness, again, because she stood in that water for 5 hours with her hands stretched up like this. And they got her to the doctor, and the doctor looked at him and said, I don't think there's much we can do. She came back into consciousness just before she died. Her husband was there beside his bed, and she looked up and she asked him, that Maggie safe? And with her little girl, is Maggie safe? And her husband looked down at her and he said, she's safe. You saved her. You saved her.
story goes, a big smile came over her face. And she said, "Thank you, Jesus." And then she went into the presence of her Savior. Father went home. And they took the body to the undertaker. 2 hours later, the undertaker came back out to the house and said, "We have a problem. I need to know what you want me to do." The husband said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The wife stood in that position with her hands held up so high they're frozen in that position. The only way I can get her down is to break her arms. The only way I can get her into a regular casket." He thought for a minute and said, "No, just build a bigger casket. I want her to be buried with her arms up because I want Maggie to remember that there's a mother." Now there's a Savior that went to the cross with arms outstretched to save us. Pay for our sin. Our life's a disaster without him. You may say, you may be here this morning and you may say, "Hey, my life's not so bad." Looking at it from the wrong perspective. God had a perfect plan for your life. A perfect plan. And you're wasting it. You're wasting it. I have a desire, and there's many people in this room this morning that have a desire to come to know Christ. We've made a decision that we're going to get involved. That's why we have services like this. I mean, you know, we don't come just to come. We come so that we can tell you about Jesus. We're not going to quit. Every time you come, we're going to tell you about Jesus. We're going to tell you about him. You can help us have some delight this morning. Stepping up and saying, "Hey, I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe him when he says there's no other way to heaven but by Christ. And I'm going to decide this morning to listen to him." If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I'd encourage you to make, I'd beg you, I'd plead with you this morning if you make that decision. If you just decide, and maybe you have to say, "Look, I don't understand it as well as you understand it. I know I'm a sinner and I know there's something missing in my life. And I'm going to take Jesus at his word. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to see what happens." If you're here like that this morning, I'd invite you to come. If you're a Christian here this morning, I preached to you most of my sermons this morning. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now you go do it too. You go do it too. That's what he's left us here for. You got to have a desire in your heart for somebody this morning, somebody that's not saved. You got to have a desire. Desire. You got to make a decision. And with determination, I'm not going to give up on that person. I'm going to keep telling them about Jesus. I'm going to keep inviting them to church. I'm going to keep giving them tracts. I'm going to keep praying for them. I'm not going to give up until they find me. He that goeth forth in the weakness, bearing the precious seed, shall doubtless come to him, bring him. Pray. Father, thank you for these two stories. Thank you for what they teach us about our responsibility as Christians. And I pray that each of us would have a desire, make a decision, have that determination that we're going to find somebody today, we're going to find somebody this week that we can tell about Jesus. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here that don't know him. I pray for those that are still trying to live this life by themselves, that still face eternity by themselves. Pray, Father, that in the next few moments they could see that they're a sinner. And a sin separates them from you. Jesus paid the price for their sin. If they simply come and receive him, they could know the plan, the abundant life. They could know heaven. They could know everything that we talked about this morning. And I pray, Father, for that one, two, or how many of there are here this morning that have never received Christ. I pray that you give them the courage this morning. Somebody here that needs to come for baptism, somebody that needs to come to join the church, you reveal your will to them and help them to be obedient to that will. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. And I pray, Father, those that don't know him this morning, come right now. In Christ's name we pray.